This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Last Thursday afternoon, the 2014 World Cup began as Brazil and Croatia ran out onto the pitch in Brazil. And with that, fans of association football, a.k.a. soccer here in the USA, plunged into a month of the high holy days, World Cup action. Now, many fans of the beautiful game get downright nationalistic as they cheer on their favorite team, whether it be England, Italy, Brazil, Germany, Italy, of course the USA, which opens its World Cup bid this evening at 6 against Ghana. One thing will really leap out at you when you watch videos of matches from around the world: the different styles of very excited broadcasters when their team scores a goal. There's the Latin American style, where the word goal matters most of all.
Mira el centro, clara, gol!
Over to Italy, where a soccer goal means emotions will run high and tears may well be shed.
Goal! 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 Goal!
The British announcers, like Roy Hudson here, just pour on the metaphors and similes, searching for ways to describe the apparent miracle of that kick into the net.
This one drops in!
And forget
about it! It's ecstasy!
Astonishing! This is not just a dream, it's a wet dream of orgasmic proportions! And this one deludes everybody! It seduces everybody in Real Madrid's fan club, that's for sure!
Throughout the European continent, often into the Middle East, announcers seem to focus on the name of the goal scorer, drawing out the syllables in a Latin American style or punching them out rhythmically like the Italians. Here's a Dutch announcer celebrating a goal by Dennis Bergkamp, and I promise you will have no doubt who scored this goal.
Heel goed naar Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp met de bal aan. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp.
And then there's Spain, where announcers squeeze every bit of mileage possible out of those vowels, consonants, and syllables, as in this call for Barcelona.
Goal, 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 goal. Titi, 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 goal.
Well, unlike those hyper-emotive broadcasters, if you think the playing style of your favorite team somehow reflects some deep cultural trait of that country, my next guest says, think again. Andy Markovitz is a University of Michigan political scientist and lifelong soccer fan. Welcome, Andy.
Thank you so much.
When you look at these World Cup teams, they are made up of players from that country, unlike the professional teams where anything goes. You have the best players going to the highest bidder, and national origin doesn't matter. So you have Real Madrid or Barcelona or Chelsea or Manchester City. They're all a League of Nations playing for them, but not the World Cup. But yet you don't think that the playing style of each team reflects its country's culture?
Well, first of all, I'm not quite sure what a country's culture is. Yeah. That's number one. And these are very often very, very dangerous generalizations, which are, of course, immensely facile and sound also very learned. But they're often wrong. The argument, of course, is that somehow these purported national characteristics, which I even question, but let's assume they exist.
Give us an example. Give us Germany.
I mean, you know,
let's say Germany.
Germany. Germany's organized, stout, kind of solid, disciplined, and basically boring.
Contrast with, let's say, Brazil.
Contrast with Brazil, which is jogo bonito, which is dancing, which is samba-like, which plays by intuition, absolutely, completely spurns any kind of preparation. It's all in their blood. This is, of course, nonsense.
And is there a USA image?
No, there isn't. And by the way, but for important reason.
Okay.
There isn't, because soccer is a in fact, has not been what I have called in my work a hegemonic sport in the United States, meaning that, in fact, people have not followed it en masse the way they follow baseball, basketball, football, and hockey.
Absolutely,
okay?
Absolutely.
And so
– soccer is something you take your 10-year-old daughter
exactly,
to.
Exactly, exactly.
And
by the
country.
Way, that's also very new. That's
yes.
That also in, this, in the 70s. When I came here from Europe, no one knew soccer in the 60s. Nobody.
Right.
Then it became kind of a suburban sport. Girls played it and Latinos played it. I mean, I don't have time to go into mm-hmm. why mm-hmm. the U.S. has a different history in its sports. Just suffice it to say that we developed our sports earlier and at the same time that this game was actually exported from Britain or England, to be specific, between 1880 and 1920, mm-hmm. with the rest of the world, actually Latin America and Europe, assuming it. So basically what happens is that only sports that are massively followed, that become culture, that are more than just those that play it, assume a certain kind of style. So in fact, in America, we have it too, except all American sports are not American, but in fact internal. So we have a West Coast playing football mm-hmm. and you know, basically the Big Ten football, and which in fact does exist, but has nothing to do with the fact that somehow you know, people from Ohio and Michigan are stout and tough and
solid.
Solid, and people from California are kind of cool. But it has something to do with institutions. And my argument is that there
are... Circling back to soccer.
Going back to soccer, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That there is actually a certain style that teams play. But in fact, they play it because of a coach. They play it because of a school. They play it because of a particular response to another style. But it has nothing to do with purported national character. So, for example, the best example for me is Italy.
Yeah.
Italy, we see Italians, not only we, everybody sees Italians mm-hmm. as dolce far niente, as wonderful, as singing, and, you know, basically this kind of dolce vita, okay?
Yes, yes.
Well, their soccer style until recently was exactly the opposite. Something called catenaccio, which means door bolt. And they play this deeply defensive, destructive, ugly a game, which was purported to, I mean, basically predicated on very quick sort of surgical attacks mm-hmm. that win by one goal, and then you immediately recede and play this kind of destructive, non-flashy style at all.
So anything except live and let live.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this completely contradicts the alleged Italian mm-hmm. sort of whatever, happy,
yeah,
tasteful,
live and let live, exactly.
Live and let live kind of stylish of a game. And of course, there is no national characteristics. I mean, think about Germany. Germany, until the first half of the 20th century, was seen as the most bellicose nation in the world. Or certainly in Europe,
mm-hmm.
As having started two world wars, on and on and on. I mean, they were associated with soldiers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, Germany has become this completely peace-loving nation. In fact, so much so that they don't want to do anything. And in fact, the United States often prods, and others in Europe prod Germany to live up mm-hmm. also militarily to its economic might.
Now, I have to say, why do you think this national characteristics as explanation of playing style, why is this so enduring?
Because it's very simple.
And it's fun.
It's fun. And it's easy. And it's perpetuated all the time. And even such learned people as Henry Kissinger wrote a very, very famous op-ed piece, I forget now which World Cup, 94 or 98, in which he completely perpetuates this. And it's kind of, you know, you sound – soccer is a very, very difficult game to analyze – because there's actually very few numbers, mm-hmm. and so I'm actually always very disappointed in the color commentators. The color commentators at soccer games are completely useless to me because they very often – they don't tell me what the strategy really is. And also, by the way, it's a flowing game,
mm-hmm.
so there's no stoppages. You cannot discuss things the way you do in all American sports.
Correct.
Okay? So you can't – And this then lends itself, you have to say something learned, you have to say something. So you say, oh, they play, you know, because a pass comes in beautifully, whatever, or solidly, they play German. And if they dribble, they're Brazilian or they're this. And, you know, it continues. And especially, by the way, since you talked about the beginning, in the beginning, how in many ways soccer or football has completely changed by virtue of it being so international, yes, on the club level.
Yes.
I mean, what does this mean that these guys are? Yesterday's Argentinian players. I mean, they play for Manchester City, yes, and Barcelona. What does this mean? They're Argentinians by passport.
Right.
I mean, so you know, Zabaleta and Aguero play for Manchester City.
Mm-hmm.
And play together with Bosnians, with
it's the League of Nations.
Exactly.
And owned by, for example, Chelsea, case, owned by a Russian.
Russia.
Man United, owned by the Glazers.
By the Glazers.
Yeah, yeah.
Manchester
Americans.
City, exactly. Manchester City owned. But the owner, yeah, exactly. But the point is that they are, that, and they play a style which they have, which has nothing to do with their nationalism. That's what I'm really arguing here in these pieces.
University of Michigan political scientist and lifelong fan of the beautiful game, Andy Markovitz. Good to have you with us, Andy.
Thank you so much.